This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. 10 days ago, a factory in Bangladesh collapsed, a factory that was full of workers. Several thousand of them were at work that day. We told you last weekend about the death toll then being somewhere around 200. Today, that death toll has climbed to 547, and they expect it to keep on growing as they keep on digging to find bodies. There are no more survivors in there. It is now a salvage situation rather than a rescue situation. I told you that there would also be fallout from that collapse because in that factory, they were making a lot of apparel that a lot of people in the United States and the rest of the Western world wear. It's being made for people who earn about $37 a month. They get cheap labor to make stuff overseas, and then they have to worry about what happens to their public image when a factory where their clothing is made collapses. Well, Disney announced yesterday that they are pulling out of Bangladesh, and that is fueling debate over whether other manufacturers should leave that country as well. Here to talk about all of this is Corey Krupp, who's an associate professor at Duke University's Sanford School of Public Policy. Hi, Corey. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm fine.
So Disney pulls out. What's that going to do for the other companies that are still there, including Walmart?
Well, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the companies to rethink how they're working their supply chains. But the fact is that, you know, the apparel industry is in an enormous global value chain all over the world, mostly in poor countries because it's pretty low value, low skill work. And it's too expensive to do in Europe or the U.S. and even China. China's getting priced out of the market.
So where could Disney or other companies, were they to pull out of Bangladesh, where could they go?
Well, China is probably the biggest producer still, but wages are rising there and it's getting more expensive. Vietnam, Cambodia. I mean, a lot of Southeast Asian countries still produce apparel. And there's still some of it in the Caribbean, Latin American countries. But it's not going to be advanced countries where they're going to move it to. That's pretty much gone.
What kind of responsibility do these major international corporations have towards worker safety in these places where, again, you know, we're talking about people who are working for very, very, very low wages?
Exactly. Well, I think these companies are part of this big global value chain. They don't own the firms that are making the apparel. It's subcontracted. And there are organizations, there are non-government organizations that are tasked with inspecting and making sure that the safety and the health requirements are met. But a lot of times they will check the worker records on wages and on health and safety, but they're not looking at the buildings. That's really the responsibility of the local, you know, building inspectors and the governments. And so I think this terrible accident is going to put pressure on the Bangladesh and the Cambodian and Vietnamese governments to say, you know, we need to do a better job of inspecting and making sure these places are safe.
Speaking of those inspectors, the executive director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity said on Wednesday that her country's government building inspectors were so ineffectual that it was vital that Western companies start making sure that those inspectors also examine the structural integrity of those factory buildings. There's corruption going on there and kind of an I don't care because I don't have to go there attitude by the people actually in that country.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's sad. I mean, you have a country where the people really can't hold their government accountable. You do have a lot of corruption. And the sad thing is, even at $37 a month, these are some of the best jobs these people can get. So, you know, it's not like they're being forced to work. They want to work. It's reliable, you know, jobs, and there's money in this business, and there's lots of demand for these factories to go up. But, you know, you do have to have buildings that are built not on former pond areas. You have to have inspections, and you can't just, you know, walk away from it. So you're right. I think the West has to participate in trying to make sure that even if the laws are on the books, they've got to be enforced. There's got to be more inspections. There's got to be more accountability.
20 years ago,
the governments won't do it. We have to do it.
20 years ago, the garment industry in Bangladesh was worth about $380 million a year. Last year, it was $19 billion. This week, Walmart and JCPenney said they and some other retailers were going to go to a meeting near Frankfurt to discuss cooperating to improve worker safety in Bangladesh. With those kind of dollars, with $19 billion flowing into Bangladesh, because of Western companies, they've got to be able to exert some sort of pressure on that government to do better for its people, right?
You would hope so. You would hope so. The interesting thing about the apparel industry, how it's changed in the last 10 years or so, is it used to be very fragmented because we had this big global quota system called the multi-fiber agreement that expired in 2005. So a lot of countries had small apparel industries, and those pretty much got wiped out by China after 2005.
Yep.
Well, now it's starting to move to other countries like Bangladesh and Vietnam because wages are going up in China. But it's still, that's why it's gotten so big so fast in some of these countries. They're just looking for where you can do it cheaply and easily.
All right, but then if we follow that blame chain, can a company like a Walmart or a JCPenney or a Disney or any of the other multinational corporations, and I'm not just picking on those are just the biggest brand names that are involved there. There are, as you say, much smaller companies involved as well. Can they say, hey, you know what? We just hire a company and ask them to make our stuff for us. We don't really know what's going on at the other end of that chain. Can they make that claim and expect us to believe it?
You know, in some cases that is true. They do sign agreements with contractors who then get overwhelmed and can't make their deadlines, and they sub it out. And, you know, there was a great piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning about some of these subs that, you know, had been inspected even by some of these NGOs, but again, they were looking at, you know, worker pay and do they have fire extinguishers and things like that. They were not looking at the integrity of the building. Nobody does that except the government, local governments.
All right. So Disney has said that they're pulling out of Bangladesh. Let's say another company says they're going to do that as well. What will that do in the long run in Bangladesh? Will that actually change anything?
Well, the sad thing is, you know, this growth of this industry has done a lot to pull people out of poverty in Bangladesh. And so if everybody just pulls out, they're going to go to the next place, Cambodia, Vietnam, Guatemala, where you're going to have some of the same problems. So just pulling up stakes and leaving doesn't solve the problem. It will put a lot of pressure on the Bangladesh government and the apparel industry to shape up and do a better job of enforcing their laws. But it's not going to solve the problem overnight.
Yeah, in Disney's statement this week, they actually said that they have cut the number of acceptable nations where their vendors can be located from 215. I didn't know we had 215 countries on the planet, but they cut the number from 215 to 172, but they've taken off Ecuador, Pakistan, Venezuela, Belarus, and now Bangladesh. That still leaves a lot of people for workers to be exploited for very little money.
Yeah, the industry is really competitive. It is. It's really competitive. And it's not the only one where you have this kind of a global value chain where you have contractors and subcontractors. And, you know, ultimately, if consumers are used to paying $5 for a T-shirt, prices are going to have to rise if they are going to make sure that workers get better pay, that the buildings are inspected. All this stuff costs money.
Well, that leads directly to the question I want to ask you. Do American consumers, and let's just talk about us, not anybody else in the world, but will American consumers care that this factory collapsed and there was another fire that killed a couple of hundred other people in Bangladesh under the same or rather similar circumstances? Do we care that $14 polo shirt that the worker only gets 12 cents for, that person is literally risking their life to make that shirt? As long as we pay cheap, do they care?
You know, I think if Americans know the details, they do care. No human being can be unaffected by seeing these grieving families knowing their loved ones were killed because somebody didn't bother to inspect the building. But, you know, I think the reality is that the $14 polo shirt is going to have to go away. It's going to have to get more expensive if we are going to shore up, you know, our standards and worker pay. It's just there's a trade-off.
I note that people did not stop buying iPhones and iPads after the stories about the Foxconn plant came out.
Exactly. And you know what? Anytime there's a lot of pressure on an industry to grow fast, you're going to have people who cut corners. And workers are often the ones with the least power, and they're affected. But they also, you know, have jobs. And all these countries want to invite foreign direct investment to come in and build factories and employ their people.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's this push and pull.
Well, with $19 billion on the line, you know that Bangladesh does not want to lose these companies. They want to keep this industry there. They want to keep their workers working. As you say, it doesn't sound like a lot of money by American standards, but it is pulling people out of poverty there. We just have to make sure that it's safer. Corey, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Paul. Thank you.